This episode of the UAV Digest is sponsored by GoEngineer, provider of design, engineering, and 3D printing solutions for the aerospace and unmanned vehicles industries. To learn more, visit the UAVDigest.com/GoEngineer. You're listening to episode 249 of the UAV Digest. I'm Max Flight in Hartford, Connecticut.
And I'm David Vanderhoof in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania. Hey, Max, another week's gone by, huh?
Yeah, we've got some great unmanned aircraft stories to talk about. Some UAV stuff, some drone stuff, some UAS stuff, whatever you want to call it, we've got it.
And, of course, we have flying taxis and other things that sort of remotely attached to all this, but we've got a video of the week from Facebook, and we also got Facebook making news, Boeing throwing some money at drone delivery, Amazon, not to be outdone by Boeing for drone delivery, defense against hijacking. It's another one of our Amazon patents of the week. Colorado lawmakers, China testing creepy drones, which my co-host sort of found disturbing, and affordable city-to-city vertical aircraft. So with that, we got a lot of news, Max. So shall we get started?
David, let's get started.
Well, a long time ago in a podcast far, far away, we used to talk about Facebook and Facebook having their Aquila project with lots of fanfare and how Facebook was going to make the world able to use Facebook because of high altitude, long endurance drones called the Aquila project. Well, this week they sort of low key made a small Facebook post with a status saying it's complicated and are dropping out of the drone business.
It was always kind of strange that Facebook was taking this approach. I mean, on one level, I can see it. Facebook lives off of people living off the internet. And if you don't have internet, you don't have Facebook. So deliver them internet connectivity and you've got more, customers, I guess. More people to generate data that you can collect and then use for other purposes. But enough of that. They decided that, well, this really wasn't something that they wanted to do. They did have two test flights of Aquila prototypes, let's say, proof of concepts. The first one resulted in a hard landing after a structural failure. And their second test, I guess it was successful, but it really didn't achieve the goals that Facebook was trying to meet. So maybe they've decided, David, that getting into this thing might cost a little bit more money than they really anticipated. They certainly don't have natively the expertise. It's certainly not a core competency to develop atmospheric satellites, if you will, and maintain them.
Wow, folks, did you hear those buzzwords? Did you hear the way he threw that out? Core competencies on atmospheric satellites. I love it when he talks like that. And maybe this wasn't such a good idea for Facebook. And given Facebook's political and social challenges since they started this program, maybe they need to work a little bit more on their core competencies and less on something as obscure as atmospheric satellites. They did reference other companies that are working on it, like Airbus or Boeing, to transfer to the next story. How's that for a transition?
Yeah, Boeing is making some significant investments.
This is from our friend Marissa Garcia on Forbes.com. Matternet has raised $60 million in a Series A funding round. Funding was led by Boeing Horizon X Ventures. Investments also came from Swiss Post, Sony Innovation Fund, and Levitate Capital. Matternet, we've talked about a lot, and they're working with Mercedes-Benz for drone delivery. Mercedes-Benz has got the truck that they want to have two drones on the top of, and so you load up one drone, you send it off, and then you, when that comes back, you launch the other one with the packages. We've covered this a couple of times. But Boeing's throwing money at Matternet so they can continue their development. And in Switzerland, they've already conducted 1,700 flights.
Right. They've been delivering, well, medical items, patient samples. Apparently, they've delivered over 850 patient samples. And they've been flying over populated areas. And at least so far, fingers crossed, no incidents. And they even expect to expand their tests in Bern and Zurich with some additional hospital-to-hospital kind of delivery networks. So they're being successful at that. And they also show up, guess where? In the FAA's UAS Integration Pilot Program.
Two of them, the City of San Diego and the North Carolina DOT, or Department of Transportation. And they're doing more like what they're doing in Switzerland, logistics for hospitals, but primarily working over beyond visual line of sight with lab samples and medical items between the hospitals over fairly populated areas. You know, Max, part of me thinks that lab samples and blood work, etc., being delivered by drone as an experiment kind of sounds like a Michael Crichton book. Matterhorn, I'm sure, does really safe work and everything. I'm just saying, this is one of those ones, like we talk about Big Brother, etc. This sounds like a pandemic about to start should something go wrong.
I don't know. You know, the motivation for selecting this kind of product, if you will, to use to prove out drone delivery concepts is interesting. And I don't know if it comes about because of, you know, the size, the quantity, you know, the frequency of deliveries and all fits well with that kind of a program, or if maybe part of the strategy is let's pick something that nobody could argue with, right? We've seen, you know, pizza deliveries and beer deliveries and things like that, and people get a chuckle out of it. But when you are moving medical samples around or blood or anything of that sort, you know, it's hard to take issue with that because it seems like such a good thing to be doing. And I don't know, maybe that's a reason they pick these kinds of things.
Blood samples are small.
Yeah.
To get them to a lab expeditiously, in this episode where we're using really big words, expeditiously, it makes perfect sense. I joke a little bit about the whole Michael Crichton thing, but it's important, having been down the we need your blood work done by tomorrow thing, having a lab, or having, in the case of Switzerland, maybe some more remote places to have the drones come into an urban center where they can get it done. Or, for example, where I live here in Fort Washington, I can go to my local lab core to get my blood work done. But say I'm a special case and I really need somebody at University of Pennsylvania, which is 30 miles down the road, to look at it and look at it in a timely manner, a drone would be a perfect way to get those lab works down to the lab that can really do the examination. It's no different than a medevac helicopter airlifting me from here in Fort Washington down to Philadelphia to Jefferson or University of Pennsylvania, because they're the level one trauma centers. So it makes sense. So I tease, but I also agree that it's a worthy cause.
Now, there's a quote here from the Matternet founder and CEO, Andreas Raptopoulos, and he says, as we expand Matternet's U.S. and global operations, we will work with Boeing to make next-generation aerial logistics networks a reality and transform our everyday lives. So I can't wait to see how Boeing takes advantage of the relationship they have now with Matternet and with some of the other unmanned aviation companies they've been dealing with, including even funding. But they're not the only ones to be investing venture capital in the drone industry. We also see something going on with drone deploy.
If something is $25 million of Series C funding, that's a lot of capital. And drone deploy is a large cloud-based drone data platform with 30,000 users and have mapped 30 million square miles in 180 countries and on 400,000 job sites. This is, you know, we talk about hardware and logistics. Data management is something we've talked about a lot this year, and capital for a data management program seems to make sense when we're talking about what do we do with all of this stuff that we're collecting with drones?
And it's sure attracting the interest of the venture capitalists. In this case, with drone deploy, this round has been led by Invenergy Future Fund. There's also some backing by Airtree, which is an Australian venture capital firm. And they have some other investors, Scaled Venture Partners, Uncork Capital, that's clever, and Emergence Capital, as well as AngelPad. So drone deploy, take this infusion of capital with what they'd already received previously. And so the total equity that drone deploy has raised is now over $56 million. So there's some money flowing into these things. So it's kind of interesting, David. We see Boeing, we see Airbus, we see a lot of venture capital coming in. The result of all this, you know, we'll have to wait and see. A lot of times, well, I don't want to say a lot of times. Sometimes, let's say, venture capital money is spent in areas that maybe don't pan out to be economically viable. And we'll see if that's the case here.
But isn't that why they call it venture capital?
Yeah, exactly.
Venture being short for a venture.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the things that I wanted to just jump back briefly to, it was about Rapopoulos's comment about Boeing to make a next generation aerial logistics networks. It's interesting that they're talking more about the logistics and less about the hardware. So I'm wondering if Boeing now is looking at it as, well, what else do we need to make? The hardware seems to be pretty stable. It's getting bigger, faster, better, but the other parts of it need to grow also, you know, the communications. Where do you put them? Who's going to? So it's interesting that they're saying logistics more than they are talking about hardware or software. And data management would be along those logistical lines.
Yeah, that's a good observation, David. And we've seen other examples in the recent past where Boeing is taking steps to, well, sort of integrate vertically and, like you say, have activity in more portions of the overall value stream, I guess you could call it. And here's the same thing. So yeah, this seems to be a deliberate strategy on the part of Boeing.
Well, let's move over to this week in Amazon patents. it's kind of amazing how many, you know, we used to talk about having themes. And you know, we have our FAA news. We've got that already. We now could talk about Amazon, eyes defense against hijacking of delivery drones by nefarious individuals. Well, it makes sense. You've got a 36-inch television flying along with a drone. How do you prevent the drone from being hacked into and delivering that television to somebody else?
Yeah, or somebody stealing the drone, or maybe taking control over it. And causing it to crash intentionally.
Doing all those nefarious things.
That's right. That's right. So this Amazon patent takes a look at ensuring or trying to ensure that the drones aren't hacked or control isn't taken from them by someone hacking the communications signals. So they have a simple idea, really. I mean, this isn't very complicated. The patent describes kind of two modes of operation for the UAV, a mission mode and a safety mode. Now, mission mode would be the normal mode, and as it's delivering its package or returning back to the warehouse, there would be a heartbeat signal between the UAV boom, and boom. The controller.
Boom, boom.
That's right.
Boom, boom.
Just
boom, boom.
Constant heartbeat. There it is. And if someone hacks the communication channels, you'll lose the heartbeat. And that's what would cause the drone to go into safety mode and take some corrective actions.
Oh, you mean we're not going to run out with the paddles and go, clear!
Not physically, maybe figuratively.
But it's, you know, Max, this is really simple ADS-B.
Yeah.
I mean, it. In a way, Amazon is patenting the obvious. Mm-hmm. You want to have some, you know, but that being said, they, you know, we've talked about this before, patents are patents. And that way you now have somebody, if they come up with the same idea, will have to pay Amazon.
Yeah, fees, license fees.
The license fees. But the patent says, quote, in safety mode, the UAV performs one or more pre-programmed actions designed to reestablish communication with the controller. Those are the paddles. Regain control of the UAV in the event of a hostile takeover and or land the UAV at a safe location. So we already have this sort of, you know, drones have safe modes. It will return to a certain point. I think the difference is this is the continuous stream heartbeat, you know, where you'll have an echocardiogram on your little box going, okay, bum, 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 bum. And should it flatline, then you'll know that your drone has been taken over.
Yeah.
So it's all good, but we got to give Amazon credit. They're trying to push the ball forward.
Yes, David, the part of this that I do like is that Amazon is clearly thinking about all the different things that could happen or go wrong or deviate from a nice, smooth, simple, grab a package, fly to a place, deliver it, come back home. Because I mean, every time we talk about package delivery by drone, we can always think of 612 reasons why that's difficult. And I think that, again, what Amazon is doing is they are thinking about all those things and considering all those things. So I think that's good. That's what anybody, I think, that intends to get serious with package delivery by drone needs to be doing. And in some ways, it's kind of unfortunate that Amazon is trying to lock up some of these solutions. Boy, wouldn't it be great if they became, you know, publicly available and shared, and we'd all benefit from it. But, you know, that's not the way corporations work, and that's not what Amazon is doing.
No, but it is kind of fun. You know, I don't think we really have talked about hijacked drones for drone delivery. I mean, but like you said, they're thinking all the parameters, which, you know, it's getting closer, Max. They're coming, you know, and I don't live near an airport now, so I can get drone delivery. Though I am still within 5 miles of an airport.
Right. And we'll put a link in the show notes to the some information about the patent, some more detailed information if you'd like to take a look at this if you're so inclined.
And that would be the UAVdigest.com/249. Colorado lawmakers want to make it a felony to fly a drone over a wildfire. Absolutely. I'm okay with this. Cory Gardner and Senator Michael Burnett and Representative Tom Tipton have introduced Senate Bill 3132, Securing Airspace for Emergency Responders Act. I have no problem with this other than our usual problem with it. I hate the fact that we have to legislate common sense.
Also, it's another example of legislating a particular kind of bad activity. I mean, there are a number of sort of violations you could think of, places where you would not want drones to fly. But you don't want a bill for, you know, a law for each and every one of them. I mean, maybe this is better viewed just strictly from a, like from a first responder standpoint. And instead of talking about flying a drone over wildfires and interfering with those, you know, what about structure fires? What about accident scenes where the police are on? You know, it seems to me that interference is interference, and to carve out just one type of interference, that being with wildfires, it just seems a little narrow to me. But as we record this, the text of the bill isn't available yet, so we'll hope to see that soon, and maybe it'll all make sense.
Well, I had something to say, and I just completely drew a blank.
Speechless. How about creepy drones?
Well, take it away there, boss.
Well, this is from Business Insider. China is testing creepy drones. See, that's their term, not mine. Creepy drones that look and fly like real birds to monitor citizens. So China's been testing these drones. They do. They look and fly like birds. They flap their wings. They can soar and glide. They can gain altitude. And they've been tested, sounds pretty extensively, in at least 5 provinces, it says, by 30-some government and military agencies in the country. But the part I like best about this is not only did nobody realize that these robo-birds were in fact drones, but the birds didn't even realize they weren't birds. In fact, some of them would decide they'd fly alongside the, you know, these robo-birds. Something as inconspicuous as this, David, I think this makes for a pretty good surveillance device.
Yeah, but having the government surveil its own people is creepy.
Creepy, creepy.
We're going to stay out of politics. But, it, sometimes science fiction gets awfully close to science fact. We're getting awfully close to Max being a microcopter that will be a fly on the wall for anybody to spy on other people. So this is one step further down that slippery slope. But I have to got to admit, it's pretty cool that even the animals don't realize they're being fooled.
You know, this might be a topic or an area where in a year or two or three or four, we'll be talking about legislation dealing with this. I'm thinking of the legislation that was recently put into effect in the EU dealing with privacy, some online privacy issues.
And, did you had to bring up privacy?
Well, I think that we're going to, you know, if this sort of stuff proliferates, I think, to any great degree, or there are examples of, you know, the population being spied on by their government, I think there's going to be kind of a loud cry that the legislators are going to hear and have to take some action on. So we may see some legislation in the future on this. That's my prediction. But in the meantime, hey, a little drone that flaps just like a bird and flies, that's kind of an interesting device.
187,267 privacy notices. That's what my day-to-day job is over the next couple of weeks. And you had to bring up privacy.
Oh, dear.
So I'm not going to worry about that, but I'm going to dovetail what you said. How's that for a pun? And say, if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, if it's China, it's Peking drone.
Yeah, there is some track record of the Chinese government keeping close tabs on their
on everything.
On everything. Yeah, not just them, but us as well. All right.
Ken, from our Slack listener team, sent us this. Now, of course, we have to talk about taxis every week. Transcend Air announces affordable, in quotes, city-to-city vertical takeoff and landing aircraft. And this is from verticalmag.com. And if you don't know Vertical Mag, it's a helicopter-focused or vertical takeoff focused thing. And I like the name Aircraft VY. Note, I posted a comment to the naysayers on their website. Now, you could see all this if you were on our Slack listener team, Max. And how can you join our Slack listener team?
Well, the easiest way is to send us an email at feedback@theuavdigest.com and give us an email and we'll send you an invite for the Slack team. If you want to learn a little bit more about what this thing is, then take a look at the theuavdigest.com/team and we have a little description of it there. But basically think of it as a closed community for, well, the core listeners, maybe, or alpha listeners. There's some great conversation that goes on. It's just us guys. Well, not just guys, but...
It's us individuals, it's not us just individuals. Guys.
Yeah. Oh, dear, that's bad.
Yeah.
But what I meant is that the group is focused on this. It's people who are enthusiastic and passionate about this topic. So we don't advertise... the Slack team outside of the audio portion of the podcast. So it keeps it nice and close.
So last but not least, from the press releases almost skipped file, and this is, I watched the video and the drone is waterborne, not airborne. So it doesn't fly. It swims on the surface of the water. So maybe it's not applicable. This was also from Ken, or was this from you?
No, I saw this. The headline is, it's finally here, fishing with a drone, introducing the Roborod. So that, you know, how could you not click on that? I was intrigued. And this company, Roborod LLC, says they've developed a fishing rod with a drone. Well, I figured the drone would fly off and drop your hook, line, and sinker at the desired spot. But it doesn't exactly work that way. What happens is you cast this thing, this little device, into the water. That's the drone. And you can control it from the rod, and it swims under your direction on the surface of the water to wherever you want to drop your hook. And then on command from you, it does that as well. The chief development officer at Roborod said it's probably the biggest development in the fishing rod since the addition of the reel. Well, I'm not sure. There is a video that goes along with this, and I don't know, David. These guys kind of look like characters. I wasn't really sure if this was real or not.
Excuse the pun?
Yeah, excuse the pun. But anyway, that's the Roborod.
Well, you know, it could be worse. You could be from Connecticut and come up with the idea of dropping M80s into the pond and do that kind of fishing.
Nah.
But I don't see there's any problem with having a... Okay, back in the day, we had a radio-controlled boat. Two screws. It was a little cabin cruiser. And up at the lake, we used to use it to go fishing. We would tie a line with some bait on it. And we would run it around the lake, dredging, you know, pulling a line, and
trolling,
and believe it or not, it worked. We caught a couple of trout, and you knew when you got one because suddenly the boat was going backwards, and you had to gun it. But yeah, it worked. It wasn't very effective, but it can be done, and I can see that Roborod is very similar. So I was just ahead of my time.
Were you a nerd from the very beginning, David?
Yeah.
You know, I thought so.
You know,
that's right. It's a badge of honor.
Well, yeah, speaking of badges, I mean, most of all of this stuff that I learned how to do or came up with these ideas was with my friends from elementary school who were in my scout troop who I went through junior high school with and high school. And believe it or not, we did all sorts of stupid things like that, but we had fun. We didn't have phones and we did it outside. And I learned how to fish. I learned aerodynamics. Scouting was very, very good. And yes, I am a nerd. only when I got older did I become a geek, but I was a nerd from a long time ago. Well, we got a video of the week. Talk about nerdy things to do.
Yeah.
This came from our friend Max Trescott, who is our co-host. And if you haven't ever listened to his show, Aviation News Talk, even if you're not into general aviation, listen to it. It's Max does a really good job. But he sent us this video. It's pretty self-explanatory. I don't know if everywhere else in the world, or at least in the United States, had Mischief Night, which was always the night before Halloween, where you went over your neighbor's house and did this. This is just a more expedited, more entertaining way of papering somebody's house. Let's just leave it at that.
And there is a drone involved.
Well, it wouldn't be a video of the week if there wasn't a drone involved, would there?
No, no. All right. Well, this is, great video. It's short, but fun.
So watch that. And we'd like to thank our listeners. Do you know next week, Max, is 250?
Yeah, I noticed that.
This is a big year for us. We hit 500 and 250.
That's right. 500 on Airplane Geeks, 250 on the UAV Digest. Rocking and rolling. Well, that's it for this episode, episode 249. You can find us at the UAVDigest.com. There you'll find show notes for all the episodes, but if you want to go straight to the show notes for this episode, just visit the UAVDigest.com/249.
And like Mike said earlier, come join our listener team and become part of the show even more than just being a listener. And, of course, you can participate with us on Twitter at UAV Digest, on Facebook, facebook.com/theUAVDigest. You can purchase some swag at our Cafe Press store. If you really want to help us, what you can do is leave some feedback to us on Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts, or send us an email at feedback@theUAVDigest.com. And always keep up to date with the local conventions and conferences that occur. We have a lot of affiliations with a lot of conferences, and they can all be found at our homepage, theuavdigest.com. So I guess with that, Max, I'm going to say we'll see you next week for 250. This is David in Fort Washington.
And Max in Hartford.
Thank you for listening.